Now, will you notice the next? He moves on down here and he says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" You know, down here, every criminal, as far as I can tell, always feels that he's innocent, ought not to be punished. I used to hold services in a penitentiary in Nashville, Tennessee, and I never dreamed there was so many innocent men back of bars. Nobody there seemed to be guilty, just a group of innocent men that felt like they ought to be out. And every man feels this. Govey called attention to the four ways of escaping the judgment. And one is, the criminal thinks his offense will not be discovered. And then, if it is discovered, he may escape beyond the jurisdiction of the court. He may cross over the border. And the third is, after arrest, there may be some legal technicality which will cause a breakdown of the legal procedure. And it's almost ridiculous, our courts in this country today, some little legal technicality will let a criminal off who's definitely guilty as sin. And the fourth is, after conviction, he may escape from prison and stay undercover. And my friend, none of those avenues are open to you when you come before God. Your offense will be discovered. You can't escape beyond his jurisdiction. There'll be no legal technicality, and you'll never be able to escape from prison. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Then he says, "Or despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" You know, we ought to recognize today that the goodness of God is something that ought to bring us to our knees before him. But instead of that, it drives men from God. David was disturbed by the way that the wicked could prosper. God didn't seem to do anything. In Psalm 73, David says, "I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." They're going to be judged, my friend. And by the way, if you're a lost man, don't think I'm a preacher that's going to take anything away from you. Somebody said to me, says, "Well, I guess you would like to take liquor out of this country." Well, I think it'd be good if we could take it out, but I'm not in that business. Because I want to say to the lost man, if you haven't trusted Christ and your only hope's in this life, brother, you better suck this earth like it's an orange and get all of it out of your can, drink all you can, sin all you can, because I want to tell you one thing, you won't have anything over there. You better get it while you're here, if that's the way you want to live. Eat, drink, and be merry, or you die. My friend, you need a Savior, and God's going to judge. And the goodness of God ought to lead you to it. But he says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." And many of you listening to me today that are not saved, you know God's been good to you. God has blessed you and didn't bring you to him, did it? May I say that makes your judgment all the worse? When you think of the starving today in Calcutta, India, and you think of you a wicked man, and you're just living on top of the world, you think God's not going to judge you? You think that somehow or another you are going to escape? Well, my friend, the very goodness of God ought to lead you to repentance.